Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. To me, it seems pretty simple. When you get into the process of buying a home or you're trying to figure out your personal plan for the next 3 to 5 years, that should be an easy process. And when you walk away from that, you should feel really secure about the deal you're getting and who you're working with. And that's why we've teamed up with Louis. He has been doing it for years now. He knows exactly what he's doing throughout the entire process. And the best thing is he takes an educational approach with his clients. He makes time for you, he's relatable, and he wants you to get the best deal possible. Whether you're just trying to figure out where you are in the process or you're literally ready to buy right now, Louis is your answer. I keep hearing it's a great time to buy right now and get into real estate, buy low, sell high, or something like that. Louis knows more than me, and he's ready to talk with you today. We've set up a personal email for Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to contact Louis at hawks@gohomeside.com. That's hawks@gohomeside.com. Or you can call Louis at 515-238-9949 to start the process. Fans, you are in for a fat episode today. This thing is packed. We start this episode with 20 minutes of a little bit of Twitter drama that Drake got into and a little bit further look into the behind the scenes of all of these claims from individuals and what we know and what we don't. And then we get to the meat of the episode, which is Lucy Rodine, Barstool Lucy. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 130 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, aka the Boring Dorks podcast, aka Three Clowns and a Mic, aka the Canceled Drake Kulik podcast. And I think that's exactly where I want to start. And I want to start by thanking all of you, my loyal soldiers, who went to battle for me on social media against the likes of these guys with the mighty Twitter fingers. I don't even know where it all came from. We're going to start with my tweet to Jack in a little bit, but this is just the intro to let you guys know I'm wearing my clown mask for a reason. And, you guys are going to hear some things that you're just not quite ready for. So make sure you're not sitting at work where your boss can hear you, because probably not going to like the content. Go ahead, Kluver.
Yeah, for the YouTube people watching later, or the Patreon subscribers, subscribe to us on Patreon, by the way. Appreciate your support. Early listening privileges, YouTube immediate release, other stuff, discounts on merch. I'm sitting back. I'm leaning back in my chair because I've taken this stance in the world right now, and kind of just in our own little world, but basically everything in my life. I'm just sitting back and watching things burn. I'm just watching everything burn, right? And I feel like a lot of people probably can relate with that right now, with the corona, college football, NFL. Right before we recorded this, I think there was another NFL meeting with the NFLPA and NFL, and it's pretty clear that the players are trying to get things done, and the league is being they're trying to screw things up. So there's just a lot of stuff in the world right now, and I think everybody feels the weight of that. But in a bit, this is really the Lucy Rodin episode, but we had to jump on because some stuff went down yesterday on Twitter, and we want to address it. I want to give Drake – so Drake, you are this – we'll just jump into it. Drake, you're this – I mean – just looking at you right now, you're this guy. You're a guy, you know. You're just an interesting guy, and you don't really care what people think about you. And I read the message boards of, so all these people talk, like the people who really go deep on Iowa football and stuff, like, just can't get enough of it. They're signed up for like this, this message board, Hawkeye Nation's the Rivals message board, Hawkeye Nation. Maybe I don't know which website it is. And they have all these forums about like different shit. And like, there's a forum about us on there. Every time you basically put out a tweet that's controversial, Drake, they say something, and there's hundreds of these dudes that hide behind these screen names. Some of them are great. Some of them are fans who like on Twitter.
They're flexing their internet muscles, bro. Look at me. Look at me right now. I'm flexing my internet muscles.
I can see you. I can see you. And just like on Twitter, 99, I would say the ratio is probably a little bit skewed on the forum, because it's the true, like, original OG. You can hide behind a screen name and post without repercussion. It's like a darker web of Twitter. But on Twitter, 99% of y'all know what's going on. All right. Y'all are with the majority. You have good intentions. You just want to see Iowa football, Iowa sports do well. Everything's great. But then there's these people. It's a select group of people, and they come out full force on these message boards. It's hilarious. I read them all. So if you guys listen to the podcast, like, I see all that shit, because I'm curious of what you're saying about the show, what you're saying about us. And there's a select group of people who really think that they know. They've got the pulse on Iowa football, or what happened in 2015, what happened during the years that all this racial disparity stuff was coming out, who's behind this burner account, who's doing this, what Brian's true intentions are, what KF's true intentions are, the real story behind DJK. I mean, you can get everything on this shit. Obviously we're doing this part because Drake made a couple tweets in interaction with two of our former teammates in the last 24 hours, one being Jack Kallenberger, and
Let me start right there. Listen, I didn't say anything about it or much about it when we did the podcast about everybody coming out about the racial disparity things.
And, we didn't bring it up.
Yeah, we didn't bring it up. You know why? Because as a white walk-on in the program who has ADHD, a.k.a. you're fucking looking at them, There was no oppression, okay? We don't get oppressed. If you think that that is the worst thing that gets said between the walls of a Division I football program where they're trying to take scrubs like us and win Big Ten championships, if you really think that Simple Jack is the worst thing that gets said between those walls, then just turn the podcast off now because you're just not going to like anything that I have to say. Not to mention, I ride for the fucking people who I came with, okay? Brian Ferentz and Seth Wallace, I will ride to the mattress with those guys, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't care what any of these guys say. I don't care if you guys think I'm the bad guy. Oh, Drake's a dick. Drake's a douchebag. I've seen it all on Twitter. I don't care. You guys can come at me all you want. You can't get to me on Twitter, and guess why? Because I have loyalties to people that I will never forego. I will go to the mattress for some of these men who have taught me some of the life lessons and some of the things that I need to know, who have brought me to this point, and some of the only reasons who I am the reason that I am. You think I'm going to let some of these clowns talk shit about the men who I respect the most on Twitter nonetheless? Get out of here.
I just look at that situation, and Coach Wallace did not come up with the name Simple Jack. Do you think Wallace watched Tropic Thunder?
I think this is a good place.
Like, right. nicknames come from the players, and the coaches just adopt them.
What Kevin was trying to say there was Butters looked like Butters from South Park. That's why he got his nickname. And Coach Wallace didn't come up with that. All the guys would call him Butters. And Kevin also said that, you know, players generally, I would say most of the time, are the ones who create the nicknames, and coaches adopt them because that's just – it becomes part of your identity in the program. Now, are we saying that I don't want to making fun of ADHD or a learning disorder or something like that, that 100% is – not okay, and it shouldn't be similar to the racial stuff. It should not be something that when you walk into the facility, if you're a guy with that situation, you should not feel like you're in an unsafe space because of your specific scenario. However, I think that, and Jack could come on the show. Open invitation to any player that's ever played Iowa football. You get that one piece of respect, no matter who you are, from Akram to DJK to Robert Gallery and the whole everybody in between. You can come on this show, and we would love to have a discussion.
Especially Akram, actually, because I have no personal beef with Akram. I think that he's handled a lot of things poorly. I think that Akram has been misguided in a lot of the decisions that he's made throughout the time that I've known him. I wish that he would have had maybe better advice coming his way from different angles. But I got a lot of love for my guy Akram, regardless of what anybody may think, what has been said on this show about, you know, debunking some of the things, because we're just going to stick up for our coaches because,
right,
you know, we have to. We respect those men. We love those men. And it's not a disrespect thing. Like, I don't have ill intentions towards Akram whatsoever. Me and him been through a lot together. Like, that was my guy from the time we walked in till the time we left. Like, I have no animosity in my heart towards Akram. I wish he would have done some things differently. So he's definitely invited. He's extra invited because I would love to talk to him.
Right. And so my point in that is, and Jack, you can come on the show. Jack, if you hear this or it gets to you somehow, and you care enough, DM us or me or whoever, and I'd be willing to talk. But I think the feeling between the three of us, Robot Kevin with the bad internet in the car right now, Drake and I, is probably a consensus that his post was a little bit of a, I believe they call it virtue signaling. Maybe just seeking some attention, feeling bad for himself. Not all the way, but just a little bit too much. Woe is me kind of thing. And much of it was exaggerated. And again, his perception of that may be that it was that bad. But I mean, it was just a little too much. It was a little too much. And so it's not, and again, this is not the point of this show. We don't want to go into every single player that's been on Twitter, take exactly what they've said, and then break it down and tell and try and be those three guys that are like, well, this is what was true, this is what wasn't. But the stuff that hits the edges, that kind of really gets out there and starts to really truly inform people's ideas about certain coaches or the state of the program, some of the bigger shit, like the Akram stuff, just the more extreme stuff. And Jax was definitely that. His thing where he came out and said that he felt bullied.
Cancel a coach.
We have to as players. I asked somebody on Twitter this last night who said that they didn't like your response to Jack. I asked this guy, what do you think as a brand, our three roles should be in this situation? Because it's not as three guys who are now removed from the program. We aren't a part of creating that culture anymore. We're a part of the fan culture. We're a part of the media culture. We're a part of former player culture. But that's a completely different culture from the Iowa culture. So we're separated from that. Right? We have not really no hand in that. And so as a brand, what should our goal be in this situation of everything that has happened? I believe it's that we should take our experiences, what we know to be true, what we saw on a daily basis, and we should, in the least divisive way possible and the most productive way possible, help the fans and anyone else willing to listen to understand and get to a point that was closer to true north of what actually happened. And with Jack's situation, we were a little off of that true north. And I think what a lot of people saw in Drake's tweet was, oh, Drake's piling on with the same thing that Jack said he was bullied about. And Drake, you are a guy who you don't give a lot of context. If you see something, you just say it. And so a lot of people jump to that conclusion. You're not stupid, although plenty of people on those messages.
These people think I'm as dumb as it gets.
People think.
What they don't understand is I can articulate my thoughts in a multitude of different ways. There's just certain ways that I choose to do so when I feel the moment is warranted. And for a guy who cried wolf about being bullied so badly that he had to exit the program when in reality that's just not something that is what happened. That guy didn't get bullied nearly like some of the other people did on those football fields. Like
right.
The shit we've heard on those football fields. And yeah. That's what got him out of the program. And then he goes on Twitter and says that, oh, you know, these guys are all soft because there's crying. There's no crying in football. Well, you just hopped on Twitter and cried a river to all these fans about a nickname.
Yeah. And so Drake is brash. Drake is, he's out there. He doesn't give a shit. He's, many of you who comment on the message boards or Twitter call Drake immature. You call him all these things, a bad guy. I've seen multiple things that were like, yeah, I like Kluver and Ward. They seem like decent guys, but Drake is the reason I don't listen to the show. And it's just like, you guys don't know Drake. You guys just don't know Drake, right? Like you just don't. And
clearly anybody who's saying that, like, what is the number one quality that you want in somebody? What are two qualities you want in somebody? Fierce loyalty and honesty. And what are two fucking qualities that neither of you two have ever questioned in me?
Yeah, either of those.
So anybody who tells me I'm a bad guy, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
But Drake, you could come to a pretty clear, like, understanding of why people think.
Brash. Listen, absolutely.
Right. And some of the stuff, like, you know, we're 25, fuck people's expectations, right? But like, you know, if you want to call us as a podcast immature, our brand is a little immature, our shtick is a little immature, sure. We're Barstool-esque.
We like comedy.
We said it in fucking episode one, all right? And when we need to be mature in a business situation, in a work situation in front of respected authority or people we look up to, you guys would have a completely different idea of who Drake was and all this stuff. Right? You just see this quick reaction, Twitter Drake, and you think all these things.
Which is okay with me. Listen, because like I said in the intro, I promise you from the bottom of my heart, the interactions on social media cannot affect me. That is not real life. That's the internet. If you just turn your phone, if you have your phone here and, oh man, oh, Twitter's getting to me. Oh, and then you just put it down. It goes away. That no longer exists. And you're just in the moment with the people who actually matter. I'm pretty good at that. So yeah, I mean, keep hating, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get to us at all. Like, I don't want to sound like the ass, like this, like the conceited asshole here. And again, call me out for it if you want. But in the end, like Drake, Kevin, and I all know we were the ones on the inside. We all saw the stuff happen. We all know the truth. And if it comes down to it, and I have to tell you straight to your face, like you're the fan and you don't know, and I was there and I do. So it doesn't get to us. It gets to you, and that's clear in all of your Twitter handlings because you think you know, and you have a really good idea in your head of what happened and what's going on. But what in the end, 100%, you know that you're not sure. You couldn't put your life on it if you had to, and we could because we were there and we saw stuff. Quickly, before I move on to kind of the whole point of this thing, Marcel Jolly jumped in, said, cancel the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Hey, cancel us, baby. Come on.
Listen, I want to tell – so this is where I thanked you guys for being my loyal soldiers, because even though I pissed you guys off the other day, you guys still came back swinging because that's loyal. And to you loyal people, I appreciate you guys. Don't think I don't appreciate you guys. That's why we keep coming back with content, because we know that you little sicklings like the content that we come out with. But this guy that just tried to cancel me, I don't know the depth that I want to go into this, because I'm not too much of a snitch on this podcast, as you guys have seen. We've like I said, debunked a couple things.
We really don't want to be. We don't want to debunk anything. But if things
we don't want to be snitches, man. I've lived by a code that snitches get stitches my whole life. Like, that's facts. But I mean, if this guy is trying to come out and cancel me, we can definitely get into the type of citizenship issues that we were dealing with, and the reason that he got dishonorable discharge from the program, and some dirty little secrets that I know in his closet that, I mean, listen, if you're going to try and come air me out on Twitter, we got a podcast for that, homie.
Yeah. I mean, and again, Marcel, come on the podcast. My first question was why you set alarms for after the time you're supposed to be at the complex. Like, that's the first one. But
yeah, you walk back into the locker room after the lift. He's got an alarm going off.
And his alarm's going off.
And then my next question would be, where is the insult in asking me if I got recruited when, regardless of my recruitment, only one of us made it to senior day? Only one of us got any playing time. Only one of us scored touchdowns and has their name known in a positive light in the Hawkeye community. And one of us has a pretty shaky citizenship background towards his treatment to women, should we say?
It's sour grapes. He's sour grapes, and he's just mad that things he's upset. Marcel knows. If Marcel wants to come on and like, we can talk it out, but Marcel knows in his heart, you know, even if he got, you know, treated in this whole racial disparity thing, if he was a part of that and his situation matched up with some of that stuff, that's terrible. But in his heart, he knows that he was not doing the stuff that he was supposed to be doing. So all of this is to say that all these little things happen on Twitter and you guys read into it. And I get the DMs, and I get the DMs like, hey, what's Drake mean by this? Or hey, like, what's really going on behind this stuff? And like, I hate drama. I hate the gossip of it. But as fans, I want you to know that I have gotten so many DMs from former players, former teammates, black and white, right? Black guys and white guys saying thank you for being the one voice who is seeking the truth. And I just want you guys to think about that. Black and white players. Couple people from in the program as well. With this whole thing, that's our whole goal is truth. We're going to bring on, so we had to open up the podcast today with that shit. And, of course it's drama, baby. We're here.
Drama makes for the best content.
And, so now we're going to flip you over. We've got a special guest, a requested guest from the fans. Lucy Rodine is coming on. She has been in the past few years, a kind of a media face, in the Hawkeye community. A couple viral TikToks, one specifically viral YouTube video trolling Iowa State. We're going to talk with her about all of that just after this break. But we thank you guys for tuning into episode 130, and we'll be back with Lucy in a second. Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast on Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app, search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify, or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Joining us now is personality of Iowa Hawkeye community, one of the better Twitter accounts around Hawkeye Nation, and a highly requested guest of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Lucy Rodine joins us all the way from North Carolina. I think we can start there. You're originally from Winston-Salem, if I did my research correctly, right?
Yes, I am from Winston-Salem, but my family's from Des Moines. And so my dad's an Iowa grad, which is why I ended up in Iowa.
Okay. I was going to ask about the Iowa connection, because from what I can tell on your Twitter, on your website, you like Hawkeye fan for life. So I was wondering what was going on there. So you grew up in North Carolina as a Hawkeye fan. Talk a little bit about that.
It sucked. Like, it was awesome, but it sucked at the same time. Like, so Winston-Salem's where Wake Forest is. So, like, we're Tobacco Road. I mean, if you're not a Wake fan here, you're a Carolina fan, you're a Duke fan, or you're a State fan, and there's no room for anybody else. So I did not fit in, and I did not like any of those programs. I like Duke now, but that's a whole nother story.
Dukey.
So I know most people get so disappointed when they hear that from me, but I'm a Duke fan. And so it was weird. Like, I grew up, like, Hawkeye game day was a holiday in our house. Like,
love that.
We knew we were going to be like, I knew I was going to Iowa when I popped out of the womb. Like, I didn't have an option, and like, I'm fine with that. It worked out great for me. But yeah, I was bullied a little as a kid. Kids called me Iowa at school, and like, I owned it though. I loved it. Like, there's something about just being like, I don't know, it's like special isn't the right word, but like, I was the only Iowa fan outside right. Like my little brother. And so I loved it. And then it got weird when I went to Iowa for school, because like, everyone was an Iowa fan there. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, there are others of you. Like, I remember the first time I moved to Iowa City, when I moved in for like freshman year, we were at the store, like just getting stuff for my dorm. And I like saw someone with an Iowa shirt, and I was like, hey, go Hawks. And they were like, yeah.
You're like, yeah, go. Like, yeah, go Hawks.
We're
yeah,
in Iowa I City. Think
I- Yeah, I think the Go Hawks call is reserved for out of state. You're not supposed to do it in state, because it's just the thing here, you know.
Yeah, like, I didn't know that, and I was like
any airport across the country, you're gonna see some Hawkeye gear. Feel free to say Go Hawks. I mean, it's like saying hello to the person you've been sitting next to for the last like
right yeah. Like, Lucy, I just realized this. Yeah, I just realized this. I'm pretty sure, guys, she's the first female guest on the show, right?
Breaking barriers.
So cool. We're breaking barriers. So evidently, not only should we be canceled for a whole other multitude of things, but we're also sexist until this day.
I can confirm you guys are not sexist. I'll sign my name on it. Yeah. Congratulations. You're uncanceled. You have the Lucy Rodine guarantee.
Oh, boom. We love that.
That means a lot.
So, Lucy, you kind of, I would say, broke into the Iowa, like, eye with the Iowa State video. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I had, really, like,
legendary video.
Thank you. Thank you. I had, like, what, like, maybe 200 Twitter followers on that before then. Like, I wasn't doing anything special. That video, like, completely changed my life, like, skyrocketed my career. And, like, let's be honest, it was my peak, like, performance. Like, I haven't had a video as good since. Yeah. And I'm okay with that because I don't think I ever will.
Yeah, we know exactly what that's like. Circa 20.
We are three experts in peaking.
Yeah.
Peaking too early, that's us.
Yeah,
we all have stuff in common.
Your Iowa State video is equivalent to the Big Ten Championship when Tavon Smith scored in 2015.
We were at that game. We drove up from North Carolina for that. Okay. Yeah, you guys were there too, but whatever. This is an episode about me, guys. So,
we were at
the game. Me and my little brother were. So that's when my Michigan State hatred actually started right then.
So, yeah, what is it with you and Michigan State? What's going on there?
Oh, my God. I hate that fan base. I, like, hate that fan base so much. I hate that fan base more than I hate any other fan base.
Really? So, more than Nebraska or Iowa State?
Way more, because I've pissed off so many fan bases in my time, like, so many. And like
all join the club, Lucy. We got
more this together, guys. It's beautiful to be hated. Like, it's a lot of fun. But like, Iowa State fans, they're like, you're dumb. Like, I don't like you. Your videos are stupid. I remember I had one Iowa State fan tweet at me and was like, you're short. And I was like, yeah, like, I am. You hurt me. Nebraska fans don't have internet access, so I don't really hear from them that much. And Michigan State fans, I made one video about their coach, one video, and it's like, I hope you die in a car accident. And I'm like, oh my God. And I know you're thinking, you did not get that sent at you. I did. I got that sent at me three separate times.
Yeah, I fully trust that you did.
Twitter is a gross place, man. It can be awful.
It can be, but if you have a sense of humor, it's absolutely hilarious to see some of these things that people are tweeting.
I had someone tweet at me like 2 days ago because I made another Michigan State joke, and I'm not going to read you the tweet because I know that you guys curse on here, but these words should not be said. But he told me to sit on a corn of cob. Corn of cob. I was like, what does that – like, are you for real right now? Like – there were a lot of other words in there too, but it was just kind of like one of those things like, oh, I had this one tweet and like super burner account, and they tweeted at me, you are the reason I'm an atheist because there's no way God could have created something as awful as you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Keep them coming, yo. I'm laughing.
Drake, you thought you were getting heat, man.
She gets smoke way worse than I do.
Oh, my God. My favorite, it's, like, really not that bad, but someone tweeted at me and was like, you're a whole wheat bitch. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like, I have no idea what it means, but I love it. I want to make T-shirts that say, like, whole wheat bitch on it. Like, I think that's so cool. Like,
so, similar to our Hawks by a Million, that should be your brand. Like,
yeah, whole wheat bitch.
.com.
That, and I got another one where I was called a festering blob of Iowa skankitis. So, I want whole wheat bitch on the front and then festering blob of Iowa skankitis on the back.
That is
my brand.
Too hard on that last.
That's truly incredible. So obviously with the stuff you do now, like you instigate fairly well. Like that's, I would say that's part of why. I mean, it's what you do it well, and that's why you're popular. It's why you've gained following. So that kind of response, maybe not to that extent, but you have to expect that, right?
Yeah. The first, like, Michigan State video I did, I, like, called out Mark D'Antonio because I kind of think he's, like, a chump. I think, like, he's not a good guy, and I think he's, like, really done some stuff to that program that's like, sketchy, whatever. And so I called him out in that video, and I didn't think any Michigan State fans would see it because my audience is entirely Iowa. So I was like really thrown off when like that popped off. But then they started like following me because they just look for reasons to be mad at me. So now I totally instigate it because like sometimes I'm like, man, I feel like I haven't popped off on Twitter in a while.
Right.
Like, I feel like I need like a plug. So I'm like, I can make a Michigan State joke and I'm going to get tons of traction.
So your TikTok the other day when you was like Michigan State is like, oh, I wish we could cancel like NCAA investigations. I fucking lost it at that one.
They did not like that at all. They were not happy with me about that one. And I was like, you guys, I have made that same joke like 10 times. Like, and it's just as funny every time. It's just gonna keep hurting your feelings.
I'm curious before, because now it's expected, but before when you put out the Iowa State video, what kind of response did you expect from that? Or did you just hear, like, I guess what I'm getting at is now you know to create that kind of content because it's kind of becoming your personal brand. You know, comedy sports is what you do. Back then, was it just like what you enjoyed doing, or did you expect and you were kind of looking for that lash out from Iowa State community?
So when I started doing sports comedy, probably like that was like my kind of like area. I started doing that about a year before the Iowa State video, and I had only had like one thing like kind of pop off. And so, but most of the stuff I was doing before was just like Daily Show type content. So I'd just sit down, read a headline, like, make right. a joke, and that was kind of what I was doing. But the Iowa State is when I realized, like, oh my God, I might actually be kind of funny. Like, I might be good at this. And so when I drove to Ames that day, I tried to do it 2 years before, but I couldn't do it for some reason. They didn't give me creds for the game. So I was like, I'm not going to Ames, like, whatever. Like, I would never willingly go there. And right. so drove there the 2 hours that day. And I knew after I got the one sound bite that like, oh, Ricky Stanzi's a legend. I don't follow sports and I love Ricky Stanzi. I knew when I got that soundbite, I was like, this is going to go insane. Yeah. Like, this is it. Like, my golden ticket. So I remember after we got that, we did like one or two more interviews and I was like, all right, we need to get back to Iowa City now, and just booked it back there and started editing right away. And then that's when I was like, okay, I can really own this brand because I have like a following now. I have like this kind of reputation to me, like I can really hit this hard and make this happen for me. So, man, that Iowa State video, I mean, I want to say thank you to all those kids I interviewed because they really did help me out.
So there's
something. I got a question for you. When you made that video, were there any people like, what the fuck are you talking about? That guy plays for the Hawkeyes? Or did you go 100% just a bunch of clueless people?
So I will be honest, I had to be pretty like racist and sexist and discriminate a lot with who I was talking to. So I stood out. So I went to the student store, bought a t-shirt. I threw the t-shirt away. I didn't return it. Like, that was trash. It belongs in the trash can. I'm like, you're welcome.
Did it hurt to put that on and wear it?
Oh my God. It was so, all I could think of was like, oh my God, if my dad knew what I was doing right now, like, he would be so disappointed in me. Oh, geez. But then once I got those good responses, I was like, okay, this is worth it. It's fine. Like, you can take it off, throw it away. You'll never have to like see it again. And you saved the world an Iowa State t-shirt. Like, I did my duty.
Yeah.
And so, but with the people, yeah, I was very judgmental in who it's I like, chose to talk to.
That person probably doesn't watch football. I'm going to go ask them. Oh yeah. Them.
And so
the like, way you said it though, I was sexist and I was racist.
Like, yeah, I was. Like,
if you ask the athletic looking black guy, like, he knows AJ Epenesa doesn't play like, for Iowa State.
No, I had to be like kind of smart. And so I actually got really lucky. The first one or two of the like earliest people I talked to, this one guy, he did not look like a football fan, but he was like willing to talk to me. And like these, I feel a little bad because they were willing to talk to me and most people were just like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they were really upset when they saw that video later. I had one of them message me and was like, screw you. And I was like, oh, my bad. But this one dude, like, I was asking him questions and he was just a great interview. Like, he was really easy to talk to. And I asked him I started off by just asking general questions just so like it felt like natural and normal. Like, I was actually supposed to be there doing that. And he ended up going off on this tangent about how he didn't know if he was going to cheer for Iowa State or Iowa because he grew up a Hawkeye fan. And like, I didn't grow up in Iowa. And I was like, holy shit, I forgot. Most of these kids probably grew up as Iowa fans. They're going to know who Ricky Stanzi is. Like, I'm going to get caught. And so I started changing my questions around a little bit after that guy. And so I would ask like trigger questions in the beginning. So I would be able to like tell if they knew what they were talking about or not.
Gauge, like what is this person's, you know, level
exactly.
of awareness.
So I was able to tell like, okay, like this guy knows sports or like this chick is clueless or like all that stuff. And so no one caught me. One guy did question me, but like, not like really. He was like, oh, I don't think I've heard of him before. I asked him something. I was like, I think I asked him about AJ Epenesa. And he was like, oh, I don't think I've heard of him. I was like, no, yeah, he's like a third stringer, but he got like major minutes in the first game. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about now. And so it was just like, I got questioned that one time, but like, I did not get caught. I didn't even get close to getting caught. And like, all these people were like, I'm sure she got caught 1,000 times. No, like not once. I was there for 30 minutes, got everything I needed, talked to like 15 people, and I was out of there.
It's a hell of a road trip right there.
It was so much fun.
That's truly incredible. You mentioned at the beginning of that story that you tried to do it earlier. You didn't get the creds for it. Talking about like feel or like Pat, like media credentials. I'd love to hear just like a brief kind of chronological order of your time at Iowa with the media and kind of the different spots that you have worked. I know on your website it said that you actually went out to LA for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So give us all the people who don't know like a rundown of basically like your career. Did you start at Iowa in 2016?
Yeah, so I graduated high school 2016, and I had done like local media while I was in high school, just like writing for newspapers, doing social media accounts, whatever. So I got to Iowa, and then I started working for the Daily Iowan, and I worked as a TV sports reporter there for a few years. And so started there, went back to North Carolina for the summer, and worked for the National Sports Media Association. And that sounds a lot cooler than it was. It was like mainly office work. And then with my first year at Iowa, I was covering Iowa baseball. That was my big sport. And so I had a great time covering that team. Love Rick Heller. He's absolutely awesome. And then sophomore year is when I started covering football. So I started covering football my sophomore year, and I covered football and basketball. And that was my first like basketball season I got to cover. And that like really sucked because that was a terrible year. And then sophomore year, I was back with the National Sports Media Association, I think. And then junior year, I was still covering football, but I was like running the like TV sports section. And then I went out to LA. Oh, I interned for KCRG. I was doing news reporting. And then I started doing like Friday night football for them.
Okay.
So like the top station in Cedar Rapids. And then went out to LA and had an internship with the Dodgers and the Lakers, which was like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Like peak existence, like Iowa State video living in Los Angeles, got to go to the ESPYs. Like I've reached like, I don't think it gets better for me.
The ESPYs is insane.
Yeah, I got to sit front row at the ESPYs. That was the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Jesus.
I sat next to Gronk and in front of Giannis.
Wow, that's actually
incredible. Did you talk to him?
So we weren't allowed to talk to him. So this happened like, I know, it sucked. It really sucks. So, I mean, it was so awesome to go. So there's a guy, his name is Isaiah Scales, and he's an Iowa grad, and he works for Fox. And he is like the most awesome person on the planet. He comes back and talks to like the journalism school all the time and is like always willing to like help students out, like emails me, whatever. And so he knew I was living in LA, and I actually ran into him at Fox Studios because I was with another Iowa grad just touring the studios. He was like, hey, what are you doing July 10th? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, do you want to go to the ESPYs with me? And I was like, yes, I do want to go to the ESPYs, very much so. And so he goes, okay, like go buy a dress, like they're going to be seat filler tickets. I'll explain everything to you later. And I was like, okay. So I went, bought this really nice dress, like bought all this like makeup, got a spray tan. I was like, I'm going to look like an athlete girlfriend, because if I look like an athlete girlfriend, I'm going to get way better seats. And so the way like a seat filler role works is like, you just get a wristband, you get there early. You don't have to pay for anything. Like I didn't have to pay to go to the ESPYs. I just had to buy a dress. And so like athletes will leave the ceremony early. They'll go to like the after party before it ends, or, you know, when they go up and they accept the award, that seat is empty. And so when they pan over the crowd, they don't want the crowd to look empty. So they hire these seat fillers to come and like take their spot.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I did not know that
at all. I
volunteer
to be a seat filler in the future for anyone listening.
Yeah, it's really awesome. You should, it is, I want to go back to LA and just be a seat filler for a living. Like, that is the coolest job.
Yeah, you can knock them all off. The ESPYs, the Oscars, all
exactly.
Grammys.
I feel like I've got, now that I have front row though once, like, I don't know if I could go back to like not front row because I was just so spoiled. So I started sitting with, like, I was like a couple rows back, probably like 10, 15 rows back, and I was sitting with the Texas A&M football team. And so I was like, what's up, guys? Like, how you doing? And then I got to, then I moved and I sat next or right behind Dwight Howard, and I couldn't see a thing. He was so tall. And like, I was next to Jim Calhoun, the old UConn coach. And so I was just sitting there. So I was there for like 30 minutes, and then like a commercial break happened, and one of the like event people was like, hey, you come here. And I was like, all right. She goes, move up there. And I was like, up there. And she was like, yep. So I go and I'm sitting like edge of like the very front row. I like look to my left and like Gronk's sitting there, and he could totally tell I didn't belong. So he gave me like a nice little Gronk smile. And then like, I like turn around and I was like, oh my God, that's Giannis. Like, I look to my like right, and it's freaking like Russell Wilson, like Lindsey Vonn. And I'm just like, all right, like, be cool. And then the next presenter was Kobe Bryant, and I was freaking like 10 feet away from him. I was like, I could rush the stage right now. Like, I could go. And so
I could just do it.
They said, so if they said that if like you talked to like athletes and like bothered them, asked them for pictures, you'd get kicked out. If you like got up out of your seat, you get kicked out. Or if you had your phone, you'd get kicked out. And after I got front row, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit here for like 5 minutes so I can say I sat here, but I'm taking my phone out. Like, people have to know I'm sitting front row. Like, I can't not document this moment. And so I had to be kind of slick with it. So like, there were people who like sent me pictures because they could see me in the background, stuff like that. Like, it's super cool if you watch like the clip where Giannis like wins Male Athlete of the Year. Like, you see him stand up and then you see me stand up, and I'm like clapping, like totally look like I belong, but like I very much don't. But I took like a Snapchat of him taking a Snapchat, and it was just like, it was the coolest thing that has like ever happened to me. And so
that was sounds like something ago. You actually dream up, like you go to sleep and in your dreams that happens.
It was like, oh, it was, I mean, like, I still like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like I went to the ESPYs, like I sat front row. Like, I wish I had more money saved up so I could just retire from everything. Cause like, right. Like, I'm not going to get better than that. Like, that was peak performance.
So that was last year, right?
Yeah, that was a year ago. And so now almost, I'm in my dad's basement. So. Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to...
It comes at you fast, man.
It's a perfect segue. And we've experienced similar stuff as that as well. We played in Yankee Stadium. Kevin was literally hoisting the trophy. And then 5 months later, we were all looking... Yeah, parents' basement, all looking for jobs.
And now people are trying to cancel us. So the world just... It comes at you fast.
Right. I'm curious... Now that you have this momentum, you went from 200 followers to 6,000-7,000, whatever you have now. You got the internship. I'm going to ask in a second, like, where you're going next, but you probably feel this momentum, and it's largely based off of social media, and kind of the world that you're in is based off of social media clicks, coming up with entertaining kind of just stuff that makes people, you know, it has to be controversial somewhat. Oh, yeah. Do you feel a pressure every day when you wake up? You're like, like, you love what you do, but there's that little bit of anxiety of like, I have to continue to be creative. Like, I need ideas to come to me. Cause I feel the same way. I think probably not Kevin and Drake so much cause they're the personalities, but like, I run the Twitter for our brand, and, you know, I personally try and always grow my own Twitter brand with my own personal stuff. And I sometimes feel that pressure of like, I gotta come up with my own shit or else this just kind of all dies. Do you feel
I feel that all the time. I sleep with a notebook like right by my bed because I will wake up at like 1 or 2 in the morning and just like, oh, idea, and have to write it down. And they never make any sense. Like, they'll be like Mark D'Antonio ice cube, like flag. And I'm like, I don't know what any of that means. And so I have to try to like figure it out the next day. But yeah, I feel like, I don't feel like a crazy amount of pressure because I feel like I kind of have a good groove where I one know that not everything I do is going to be a home run. Like, right. I'm okay with that. And like, sometimes people be like, that video sucked. I like that video a whole lot more. Like, yes, a lot of my videos are going to be better or worse than the other. That's just the way things go.
Yeah. You got
to
shoot the shot.
Exactly. Like, it's going to sink or it's going to swim. And that's just like, that's content creation. And so I would say I go through like a nice groove where I hit like a real hot streak for a little bit. Like, So I had that Iowa State video, and then I had that really good Michigan State video, and then I had those drunk girl TikToks I was doing. And so, like, I'll get, like, really good hot streaks, and so that keeps, like, my fire and my following alive. And so it's just a matter of time before I get my next idea. And so I'm trying to find a job, too, so I do feel a little bit more pressure than right. I used to, just because I'm like, oh, my God, I got to keep producing, like, really good content all the time or no one's going to hire me.
Sure.
But, like, I feel like I've had, like, a nice understanding of, like, not every video is going to be 10 out of 10. Like, I just got to keep making content. People are going to like it or they're not, and that's just life.
Yeah. So, speaking of finding a new job, Barstool Lucy trending. Yes. Any traction with that, or are we still?
I haven't heard from Barstool yet, but the Barstool Lucy hashtag, it's going a lot better than I thought it would. I want to give a shout out to this one guy. His name is Eli, and he has been tweeting at Barstool every single day for like 45 days now until they hire me, and he is awesome. I hope he listens to this. I won't, like, spoil too much, but I have some contacts, and so it's just as simple as, like, if I keep creating the content, if I keep making funny stuff and people keep sharing and tweeting it, like, I'm going to get that job, and yeah. I really want that job. I don't want to work anywhere else. Like, I want to be funny.
Yeah, and this is another question I thought as I was kind of prepping for this was, in the space of journalism, kind of being in the media, reporting, that kind of stuff, for the younger generation like us, is that Barstool type job, is that the golden goose? Is that what most people, like, because I'm sure you have a pulse on the industry way more than we do. Is that what people want? Like, I have to imagine it is, because that's what it's morphing into. An old sports where they're like, well, hey, Bob, we're out here, and the Wildcats won 6-3 tonight. It was a tough game, and, like, it's more of the funny, like, kind of progressive type comedy stuff, right?
I would say it's – that's a great question, because for some people, I think that's the future. Is I think fan-based content is the best type of content. That's the content people interact the most with. That's how I got my following. But Barstool has such a stigma in the industry that I don't think it's quite there yet, because the people who do like it really like it, but the people who hate it so much. And it's industry people. It sucks to say, but I can't even tell you how many, like, journalists I know who have reached out to me and say, like, hey, I don't have any respect for you anymore because you want to work for Barstool. Who have unfollowed me and say, like, I'm cutting ties with you because you want to work for Barstool. Wow. And I'm like, all right, well, if that's, like, I mean, if you don't want me to have that job, like, good thing you're not me. But, like, it's so controversial that I won't say Barstool is there yet, but I think they're heading in that direction. Because, like, if you look at their content, it used to be really like, oh, my God, I cannot believe they said that. And they still have a lot of, like, oh, wow moments, but they really have cut down on those. And they're, like, you can kind of see with the people they're hiring and the things they're doing, they're trying to, like, open up more as an organization.
I think you have to ride that line like Portnoy and them do, because – it's
too far away from the line is boring as shit.
It's so boring. And as long as you're not, like, overtly racist or overtly sexist or whatever, and the intent isn't to belittle, and it's just, like, kind of in jest, and it's fun and it's entertaining stuff, I think that's where it's going. But of course, I'm Barstool's just target demographic too. So
25-year-old white dude.
Yeah, yep. I'm just. Just
no filter,
straight nuke right to my dome on that demographic. I don't know. I, as much as we can help you, I hope that this helps you spread the hashtag around a little bit.
Thank you. I hope it works. Yeah, we got to keep tweeting. It's so weird. My dad is so, like, that was such an interesting conversation to move back from home after, like, you know, out of state tuition at Iowa, to be like, hey, like, my plan is to just tweet as much as I can until I get a job.
Right.
You're
right.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
Imagine explaining that to, like, you know, like, your grandparents, like, say this was like 20 years ago. And, like, just imagine explaining that simple concept to, like, your grandparents. parents.
Yeah.
I saw my grandma like a week ago and she had seen some of my TikToks and like, I think she thinks I want to go into like acting now. I'm like, no, like that's not it. Like it's totally different.
Yeah.
It's weird to tell people like, yeah, that's my plan. It's just like, I'm going to make TikToks and tweet. And they're like, oh, you went to college for that. I was like, yep.
It's kind of similar to Drake and I a little bit. Kevin actually has like a respectable job, but not that his degree really had anything to do with it.
It helps.
Right, but it's not like you get into exercise science, which, by the way, from earlier that conversation where those people on the message boards think you're dumb, Drake, they started like calling out exercise science majors. And I was like, hey, Kevin and I have that same degree.
They think that just because I am who I am, that makes all exercise science majors dumb.
Well, they also talked about you running your head into like brick walls for 5 years straight, and that's why that you're not smart. But which, you know, I can't agree.
It's decent logic.
Yeah,
I've got
that makes sense. Old.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other questions for Lucy before we let her go?
I do. So. It was probably a couple weeks after your Iowa State video. You went around evaluating all the tailgates, and B. Ford made sure that you stopped by our tailgate.
I remember that.
What was the, you know, he's going to listen to this podcast. He okay. needs to know, how did he rank versus the other tailgates?
All right. So that day we had 25 tailgates on the list, and we made it to 11 of them.
Wow.
So this is out of, yeah, it was a really long day, and we really went to as many as we could.
It's because when you go to a tailgate, you get sucked in all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an hour.
Yeah. You got to have a drink. Oh, you got to eat this. You got to try that. Yeah.
You had the fanciest isn't the right word, but like,
yep.
The most aesthetically pleasing, like, food selection. Like, your cake was beautiful. I remember,
So the cake is my mom's. So you're going to be really happy to hear that.
Yeah. I took a picture of the cake. Cake was gorgeous. and then I remember you had the tap in the bus. And I was like, that's really dope. I would say you were top half of the tailgate, but I've got to give the number one spot is Hawks to Go, because I don't know if you've ever been to that tailgate, but they are awesome. Moose and Stumpy are crazy. Have you ever heard of this?
Is that the guy with the combine or?
No. So this is like a tailgate. They're off Golf View. And so they sell shots and they donate the proceeds to the Children's Hospital. Oh, and wow. So it's so awesome. They've raised like $30,000 or so like last year. Like they raised a crap ton of money.
Cheers to the alcoholics of Iowa. God damn.
I know. It's awesome. And they're so nice. And when I go, they don't make, like, I'll give money, but they like give me all this free stuff. And I'm like, that's so cool. So they're a really good tailgate. And then the 1122 Melrose is really nice, 'cause that's like the Iowa Twitter tailgate. And so when they hear that on this, they're going to lose it. They're going to love it so much. But your tailgate was up there. It was a really nice.
How about the convenience factor points of the Beef Ward tailgate?
Oh, it's so close and it's nice. Like, it was in the middle of my tailgate map. Like, that makes a big difference. Because if you got to walk far to a tailgate, like, it changes everything. It changes
the atmosphere. Yeah, I mean, you can just stumble right.
You don't drink as much. Like,
I'll say this, Kev,
stumble right on it.
About the Beef Ward tailgate. And it's you either like it or you don't. A lot of people, when they go to tailgates, they want like this big party, right? And that's not like the B4 tailgate. The B4 tailgate is like a private kind of like the roped off area in the section of the club where it's like there's a few people and it's a good time. Conversations it's chill. Everyone's just hanging out. It's not like a place where people are Buffalo Bills going through tables like.
I'd say it's chill. I mean, it's definitely not Buffalo Bills going through tails, but you know, that's a decent analogy. Like, it's the roped off part of Summit. You're still getting a little after it, but you're not.
But yeah. The ladies' bathroom is ladies only. So like, that's the velvet ropes treatment.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lucy probably didn't even know about that. There's a girls' bathroom in that trailer. That's only for women.
Yeah, only girls get to use it.
That would have been so nice to know several months ago.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Speaking of the roped off area Summit, what's your favorite bar in Iowa City, Lucy?
Oh, I actually had a feeling you guys are going to ask me this, and I was like literally preparing for it because I was like, this is tough. It changed every year for me. But
so Union and then.
Oh, never Union. Never Union.
Never Union.
I was anti-union from day one. I just want everyone to know that.
RIP and peace to Union.
I don't No, when Union closed, I was like, good. That there is so you got to like disinfect that place. There are so many diseases just festering there.
That's, that's 1,000,000%.
That's it's Corona ground zero.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, those tweets were going around like, oh, like if you drink like water from a garden hose, like you're immune to the coronavirus. I was like, if you've been to Union, you're immune to the coronavirus. Like yeah. You just are. So I don't like Union. I would say Brothers was my favorite like this year, just because like I was finally 21 and I was like, oh, I can go in there. And I just liked it. And I like DC's a lot. DC's is a go-to for me.
Yeah. It seems to be, that's the progression. Like people like, you know, like Summit Union type places earlier, and then they graduate like, or they turn 21. It's like, I do not want to be around these freshmen. Yep. I want to go to the older bars.
Yeah. You know, which I prefer, Kevin, is Donnelly's.
Donnelly's. Okay.
Donnelly's has some amazing wings.
Only because they sponsored one of our episodes and we got free wings and did a podcast from inside the bar.
Okay, that's super cool. That is awesome. I wish Brothers would sponsor me.
It's 30 minutes of Kevin and I just eating wings, yelling into the microphone.
That was basically my tailgate video, was me just like eating people's food and drinking their alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just, I mean, if you could get paid to do that type of content, like, like, that's a dream, right?
That's literally my dream job. Like, dude, that's why I want to work for Barstool. I could totally do that at Barstool.
Seriously, I think, honestly, our brand, we could probably set that up on game days, and that could literally, like, we could do that.
Oh, you totally should. It's really, people, if you say, hey, I want to tailgate with you, I want to drink with you, people will line up. I got over, like, 50 requests, and, like, I was just like the Iowa State girl.
Yeah, right, right. well, we appreciate your time, Lucy. You no doubt laid the bar real high for any other future female guests that we have on the show. I'm not sure you'll be top. I'm not even sure when we'll have another female on. We need more. There's not a lot of female like Hawkeye, you know, there's no like reporters that are other than you that are like women. So I don't know. We gotta have somebody else. We could probably get like Lisa Bluter on or somebody.
Ooh,
like
that would be cool. Get Megan Gustafson.
Let's get Mary Ferentz.
Yeah, we've
been trying to get Megan Gustafson.
I DM'd Megan and she's just leaving. She's leaving me on red. Like she.
Tough guy. That's tough. I can't relate to that feeling.
Ouch. Well, okay. Anyway,
we ignore my Mary Ferentz suggestion or.
Mary would
Mary
be good.
Mary Ferentz would be amazing.
And I think if we could get Pete and Kim on.
Kim, Norman.
Yeah. But we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate your time. This is a long time coming. This was supposed to happen when all the Iowa racial stuff came out. Literally, that was going to be the weekend that we had you on. And then it happened. And I was like, well, we're not going to do a podcast for a while. So we appreciate you. And it was a blast having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. My brother had a great time meeting you guys.
Of course, of course.
Fun having you on. Everyone, hashtag Barstool Lucy.
Yeah, Barstool Lucy.
There we go. Can we get a Hawks by a Million as we end this off?
Oh, yeah, Hawks by a Million, Barstool Lucy. And then I don't have like a – oh, Whole Wheat Bitch.
Yeah, WholeWheatBitch.com.
Yep, that's
it. Thanks. I want to throw in hashtag Don't Cancel Drake.
Oh yeah, hashtag don't cancel Drake. I'll tweet that.
That's a really hard one to get behind, but
yeah, you're not getting a whole lot of support for that one.
You'll get me and my brother.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Anyway, episode 130 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Thanks guys for listening. We will be back again soon.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.